إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. إنه من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا وإمامنا وحبيبنا وقائدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بلغ رسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الله به الغمة وتركنا على المحاجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك. وبعد، فإن أفضل الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة في دين الله بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار، اللهم أجرنا من النار. My brothers and my sisters in Islam, I begin with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and the blessings and the mercy of Allah be upon you. I begin by testifying that none is worthy of worship besides Allah and except Allah. And I continue my testimony by declaring and proclaiming that the beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final messenger and a servant of Allah. Whomever Allah guides, none can misguide. And whomever is allowed to go astray due to their own wrongful actions, sinful desires and inclinations, none can guide back except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and my sisters, it is humbling to be standing amongst you. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless each and every one of you. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the beginning of this khutbah to bless our families, to bless our spouses, to bless our children, to keep us guided, truthful, just, fair, uncompromising in our relationship with Allah, kind, compassionate, and reasonable with His creation. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. My brothers and my sisters, there are beautiful ayat at the end of Surah At-Tawbah. And one of those beautiful ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَإِذَا مَا أُنْزِلَتْ سُورَةٌ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ أَيُّكُمْ زَادَتْهُ هَذِهِ إِيمَانًا. When a new surah is revealed, the companions would look at each other and they would say, who amongst you feels is increased in faith because of this ayah? Can you imagine? The companions are hearing the words of Allah for the first time. And they're looking at each other and they're saying, aren't you feeling that? Don't you see the depth in these ayat? Don't you see how powerful, how transforming they are? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and answers their question almost, interject in the conversation. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَزَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَهُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَتْهُمْ رِجْسًا إِلَى رِجْسِهِمْ وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ كَافِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as for the believers, the ayat, the signs, when they come, it increases them on their faith in additional faith. وَهُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. And they're excited, they're happy. They're excited. The Quran brings glad tidings to them. But as for those who have disease or ill in their hearts, فَزَادَتْهُمْ رِجِسًا إِلَى رِجِسِهِمْ. It only increased them in further enmity, hatred, envy, disgust, and dirt and filth. Can you imagine even the ayat of Allah in the Quran? Even the signs that are in the Quran, they can impact people in different ways. Some can look at each other and say, don't you see that? Can't you imagine? Subhanallah, and the tears are flowing down their eyes, as Allah describes them. تَفِيضُ عَيْنُهُم مِّنَ الدَّمِ. Some people. And others, they look at each other and what do they say? What is this? Hasn't this already been said? Isn't this redundant? Isn't it repetitive? What's the point?
And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says just a few ayat later,
وَإِذَا مَا أُنزِلَتْ سُورَةٌ نَظَرَ بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ هَلْ يَرَاكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ ثُمَّ انصَرَفُوا صَرَفَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ.
When another surah is revealed, some, the hypocrites, with ill in their hearts, with filth in their hearts, coming into the Qur'an with presupposed agendas, with already predispositions, not ready to compromise, not ready to break through the shackles and give up the things that they're afraid of losing: power, money, prestige, class, even the ego. How can I break my ego and humble myself to this man, to this orphan? How can I break my ego and, you know, this displace the importance of my ancestors and the importance of the law and the sacred tradition that they've given us? It's not a matter of truth and falsehood. It's a matter of power. It's a matter of what's convenient and what is not convenient. And my brothers and my sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes this ayah by saying, ثُمَّ انصَرَفُوا. They turned away. There's nothing here. Nothing. And Allah said, صَرَفَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. Because they turned away, Allah allowed their hearts to be turned away. Allah prevented their hearts and prevented the fitrah from coming out and being able to be touched and impacted by the Qur'an. And this is the theme of the khutbah, my brothers and my sisters. I want you to imagine, when you're speaking to someone, whether it's your professor, whether it's your supervisor, whether it's your boss, and you're having a beautiful conversation with this individual, and this individual knows a lot about the dunya, as Allah says, describes them in the Quran beautifully, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِرُونَ. They know a lot about the manifest nature of this world. When it comes to empiricism, they will know a lot. When it comes to naturalism, they will know a lot. When it comes to knowing how to work out an engine, or how to build something, or how to create a system, or how to solve a problem, or how to create a formula, or how to formulate an equation, they'll know it like the back of their hands. But when it comes to the knowledge of the hereafter, when it comes to the knowledge of the unseen, when it comes to the knowledge that is ingrained within us, and the potential for it, and the intrinsic desire to know it, to recognize it, to love it, when it comes to that relationship with the one who gave us the capacity to think, articulate, formulate, they're clueless. Ghafilun. When you're having a conversation with that individual, remember, my brother and my sister, remember that even at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even when the Qur'an was fresh in the minds and in the ears of people, even when the miracles were performed by him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, including the miracle of his character, his etiquette, including the promises that were made in the Qur'an that were fulfilled, even people that lived to see him and interact with him and interact with the Qur'an, the primary audience, even some of them turned away. So don't be surprised, nor shocked, nor intimidated, nor should your confidence wither when you see someone who's intellectual, supreme in power in certain areas of knowledge, in worldly knowledge, in sciences. And those are important and they have their place, no doubt. But don't be intimidated when someone like that is completely absent when it comes to being able to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you want to understand what makes that difference, what prevents someone from knowing and embracing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what makes someone ready to listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at the very beginning of the Quran. Open the Quran. And after Al-Fatiha, turn to Surah Al-Baqarah. And remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. That even the Qur'an, There's no doubt therein in it. But even the Quran is guidance to those who have taqwa. It's guidance to those who are ready to protect themselves by protecting the boundaries that are set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that in each and every one of us, there's something that the Prophet Muhammad described in the hadith as wa'id Allah fi qalb al-mu'min. Wa'id Allah fi qalb al-mu'min. That in each and every one of us, in our hearts, there is an advisor. There's an advisor. There's an internal compass calling to break through, calling to guide us towards good, towards Allah, towards monotheism, towards tawheed and submission to Him and Him alone, and achieving peace through that. It's there in each and every one of us. But what happens, many of us choose to bury it, choose to hide it, choose to ignore it. And just like anything else in neuroscience, you keep reinforcing a specific pathway, it'll grow. You leave it, it'll diminish. So you keep ignoring that voice within you. It'll diminish, it'll stop. You're not paying attention. Why should it keep speaking? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us another beautiful ayah in the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلَى مَنْ كَسَبَ سَيِّئَةً وَأَحَاطَتْ بِهِ خَطِيئَتُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكِ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Indeed, the one who kasaba. I want you to imagine what a beautiful word that is being used here. Kasaba, the one who's going out to win, to earn sins. Imagine there's a difference in someone who's, you know, trying his best, her best, and happens to fall into sin. And another who's going out intending to find sin, intending to hunt down sin. So Allah says, بَلَا مِنْ كَسَبَ سَيِّئَةً وَأَحَاطَتْ بِهِ خَطِيئَةٌ. The one who continues to collect and win and earn sin upon sin upon sin and becomes surrounded with his error, becomes surrounded, engulfed with his darkness or her darkness. Those are the ones that will be so distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, separated themselves from Him and from the knowledge and the potential to be with Him, doomed, unable to be with Him in Jannah. Therefore, the place for them is in the fire, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another ayah in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. Imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, upon their darkness, a seal upon seal upon seal collected, dust collected, closing the heart, layer upon layer upon layer, closing it because of what they used to collect. And then Allah says, كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. Indeed, on that day, and this could be interpreted two ways, from Allah they are deprived, مَحْجُوبُونَ. There's a hijab, there's a barrier between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a barrier between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And my brothers and my sisters, wallahi, this is true. You can learn like the back of your hand, argument after argument after argument, rationally, logically, from evolutionary biology, from sociology, from biology, from psychology, arguments from philosophy for Allah's existence. You can have argument after argument after argument, and you can have those as convincing arguments. But if that person has an emotional preset opinion or prejudice, it's not going to change. And people like to always hide behind their emotional predispositions and paint and present them as logical ones. What am I trying to say? Many of the people, not all, many of the people that will be so distant and unready to listen, it's already engraved within. The decision has already been made. It doesn't matter what you bring them, it's not going to change or wither or affect their already made up decision and position. And the one that has already in his heart accepted and tasted the beauty of Iman, the one who already in her heart has experienced that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, felt it directly, nothing philosophical argument, no emotional argument, no psychological argument can change a memory and an experience and a relationship that is felt and had. It's like your son or your daughter. You can have someone coming to you and having a conversation. Oh, are you sure this is your son? Are you sure this is your daughter? Have you ever done a DNA test? What do you mean? I don't have to do a DNA test. I know this is my son. I know this is my daughter. I know that. I have a relationship with him or with her. And that is the relationship we all have to strive to have, my brothers and my sisters, with the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, my brothers and my sisters, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَوْصَابِ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. It is not the eyes that are blind. It is the hearts or the core of the individual that becomes blind. It is not the lack of sight, it's the lack of insight. And it's each and every one of our duties as Muslims to try with our words, with our actions, with our decisions and our choices to wake up the fitrah in each and every human being. There's a compass in each and every human being. It doesn't matter how dark they are. It doesn't matter how consumed in their minds and in their thoughts they are. There's a fitrah. It is there. It is down there. And it's looking to come out. And it wants to come out. And it's our duty to simply remind and to hope that the reminder is sincere, coupled with action, and coupled with the sincerity of the decisions that we make. And that becomes the reason that someone's fitrah wakens. Someone's fitrah comes back to life. My brothers and my sisters, there are very beautiful ayat in Surah Al-A'raf, and I would like us to read these ayat together. And wallahi, there's one thing you're going to take from this khutbah, and you're going to remember, please remember the depth and the meaning of these ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'raf, ayat 57 and 58. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُرْسِلُ الرِّيَاحَ بُشْرًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَحْمَتِهِ حَتَّى إِذَا أَقَلَّتْ سَحَابًا ثِقَالًا سُقْنَاهُ لِبَلَدٍ مَيِّتٍ فَأَنْزَلْنَا بِهِ الْمَاءِ فأخرجنا به من كل الثمرات كذلك نخرج الموتى لعلكم تذكرون والبلد الطيب يخرج نباته بإذن ربه والذي خبث لا يخرج إلا نكدا كذلك نصرف الآيات لقوم يشكرون لقد أرسلنا نوحا إلى قومه فقال يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره إني أخاف عليكم عذاب يوم عظيم قال الملأ من قومه لنراك في ضلال مبين قال يا قوم ليس بي ضلالة ولكني رسول من رب العالمين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and it is he who sends the wind carrying good news in the form of cloud, in the form of pollen, in the form of water, that water condensed into those clouds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and until or when the cloud gets heavy enough, when the cloud gets heavy enough, Allah allows, remember there are natural processes that allow you to explain why things happen, but there's an uncaused cause who set those natural processes in motion. The source of all. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, even the clouds, and I want you to listen to the depth here, the ways and the levels that you can understand this ayah. Imagine the clouds, Allah says, when the cloud gets heavy enough, Allah directs it to an area that is dead, and Allah allows it to pour to bring the dead ground back to life. In this way, Allah brings the dead human back to life. And in this way, Allah is giving us an example of how He brings the dead back to life physically, and the dead back to life spiritually. The two ways that we can be dead. Because you can be alive, breathing, functioning as a biological being, but you can be so empty and devoid, putting on a mask and living a life as a game. Now there are many people who live it like that. Just gotta hustle, just gotta do what I gotta do, be the best that I can. Why? What else is there to do? I'm here. I can't deny my existence. Can't deny the reality. I don't have time to engage in those philosophical deep discussions or trust those crazy people who claim to be religious. This is it. This is all that I have. I'm going to make the best out of it. And there are people who live like that. Unable to truly move beyond that. And whatever little glimpses of love and beauty that they see in the world, they will explain through any other, you know, empirical or material way, giving no room for any intervention or any room for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to exist in their minds and their hearts or in their logic or in their arguments. But one of the things that I want us to remember from this ayah, my brothers and my sisters, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when the cloud gets heavy enough, Allah allows it to pour after taking it to a place that is dead. And this is how Allah brings the dead back to life. You know what this means for each and every one of us? I want us to imagine that we are all clouds. We are all clouds. And maybe Allah has taken you to a place that is dead. A place that needs a revival of morality. A revival of ethics and values. Maybe your own body needs that revival. Maybe your mother or your father, maybe your son or your daughter needs that revival. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something though here. He says that only when the cloud gets heavy enough will gravity kick in and allow it to pour. So don't expect, my brother and my sister, to have an impact in this dunya on your family, especially in the generations to come. When they're, you know, now with the information age, your son will come to you and say, look at this hadith and this hadith and this. Blah, blah, blah. Well, what about this? It's going to be a very difficult situation. For the uninformed, there is a clear agenda seeking to belittle the position and the value of religious people's institutions and the faithful in general. And that agenda may see itself as doing sincere work. We don't have to look at it as a, you know, as an insincere agenda. Maybe they do see that they're actually trying to empower people and help people, even save people. They don't see what you see. They don't experience what you experience. They don't live what you live. But remember that only when the cloud gets heavy enough can the cloud pour. You can't expect to have an impact if there's no weight in sincerity, if there's no weight in knowledge, if there's no weight in akhlaq, if there's no weight in your morality, in your ethics. And if you start pouring too early, you run out of water and you just leave a little sprinkles that will die out, that will be dried up by the heat. You have to have weight, my brothers and my sisters. And when you have that weight, you have to allow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You ask, Ya Allah, take me wherever you know there's good for me. Don't be selfish. Don't just think materialistically. Don't just think about yourself and give up. No, there's khair to come. Look how many of us are here. Look how many of us are here. Let us not be among those that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ described in the hadith. You will come and you will see the Muslims, large in numbers, but they will be like the foam on the water. Any little wind comes, gone. Because there's no weight and depth in knowledge, in sincerity, in confidence, and in the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us avoid that shallow understanding of the deen. Let us try and make those difficult choices to learn and to grow with the intention of, as Allah mentions here, bringing the dead back to life, including us and those who we love in the process and all of humanity, which we are commanded to care for and to look after, my brothers and my sisters, as vicegerents and khulafa on this earth. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions just the next ayah. وَالْبَلَدُ الطَّيِّبُ يَخْرُجُ نَبَاتُهُ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِ وَالَّذِي خَبُثَ لَا يَخْرُجُ إِلَّا نَكِدًا. Imagine that. I want you to pay attention to the words here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الْبَلَدُ الطَّيِّبُ, the good ground, the pure ground, will give rise to beautiful fruits when the water comes. Remember the cloud carrying the water? When it pours, the good ground will give rise to beautiful fruits. And the ground that became, وَالَّذِي خَبُثَ, the ground that became not so good, لَا يَخْرُجُ, nothing grows, إِلَّا نَكِدًا, except little, with so much resistance and so much effort. You know, this is so powerful if you pay attention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, the water will come, the water of revelation will come, the water of inspiration will come, the signs of the Qur'an will come. But take this water and take a seed and put this seed on concrete and keep pouring water from now till the end of time. Will that seed grow? It's not going to grow. Can you say something's wrong with the water? No, you can't. Can you say something's wrong with the seed? No, you can't. The water is fine. The water represents the knowledge, the revelation, the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Qur'an, which comes to bring the dead back to life. And all the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can wake us with. They're there, they exist, and they're pouring, and they're coming into our lives, each and every one, every day. In the form of humans, in the form of reminders, in the form of a YouTube video, in the form of a cry that you see, in the form of a laugh, in the form of a smile, in the form of a life that you give birth to, in the form of a death, a life that you have to leave behind, or a life that leaves you behind. We see those signs each and every day of our lives. And they come to wake that fitrah in us. They come to wake that seed. Allow that seed to grow. You can't say that seed is not there. It's there. The seed is fine. The water is fine. But the problem is you're trying to grow the seed in concrete. The hearts have become rough. The fitras have been buried, clouded behind all these layers. But there's good news in the ayah. Why is there good news? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say the good ground will give rise to good fruit and the bad ground will give rise to nothing. He says the ground that became bad. وَالَّذِي خَبُثَ. It's a verb, not a noun. Which means that no ground is bad intrinsically or inherently. Every ground that became not so good has the capacity and the potential to fix itself and rectify itself. It's good news for each and every one of us. The fitrah may be, the ground may be dirty now, but there's potential for it to be fixed. As there's potential for it to grow and to come back to the state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it in. And to summarize the message in this khutbah, my brothers and my sisters, remember that we all hold the water of revelation as Muslims. And we're all commanded to share that water and to bring the dead back to life. But in order for us to do that, we have to have weight. We have to have weight in knowledge and in sincerity. And we have to remember that we can try the best that we can. At the end of the day, if the fitrah is not ready, it's not about you. You can be advising your son. You can say, Shaykh, I'm trying everything with my son. I'm trying everything with my daughter. It's not working. I've tried every rational argument, every emotional one. I've tried everything. Remember, at the end of the day, it goes back to the state that they're in. And no one can change that state except themselves. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said to him, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبَتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ. You will not be able to guide the one that you love. It's not an emotional thing. It's not just, you can't just give it, you can't just extend it and share it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ. Allah guides whom He wills. And His will is not prejudiced, it's not biased. He sees beyond the facades. He gives to the one who's most sincere in asking for it and most sincere in demanding it and follows that demand, verbal demand, with actions that confirm that he or she is sincere in asking for it. Remember that, my brothers and my sisters. So our job is to wake up that fitrah so they can feel it even temporarily and then go back and say, I know there's more than what seems and what appears to be. And I felt a little bit of it. and I've experienced a little of it, and I want to know more, and I want to grow it more, and I want to invest more in allowing for this to be able to come out and be able to grow. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless each and every one of you, Ya Rabbi Ameen, and to allow us all to be ambassadors of Iman and Deen, Ya Rabbi Ameen, and to allow us to accept that we will not be able to guide everyone that we love and everyone that we care about, but to accept that it's our duty to try to the best of our ability. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant victory and help to all of those who are oppressed, Muslim and non-Muslim. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant victory and help to all of our brothers and sisters everywhere in the world who are begging and asking and demanding the help of each and every one of us. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us there for them, Ya Rabbi Ameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah lakum wa sayyidil muslimin. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عبد الله المصطفى اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على محمد يا رب آمين. My brothers and my sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us that there's a beautiful hour in which dua is accepted. This may be it, so we raise our hands and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he accepts. اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك اللهم لنا فيما اعطيت. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا مهتدين. اللهم بارك لنا وفينا وعلينا واجعلنا مباركين. اللهم اقبلنا وتقبل منا واجعلنا مقبولين. اللهم هات نفوسنا تقواها وزكها انت خير من زكاها انت وليها مولاها يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعلنا مسلمين مؤمنين صادقين قانتين راكعين ساجدين امرين بكل معروف وناهين عن كل منكر. ولا تجعلنا فاسدين ولا فاسقين ولا حاسدين ولا ضالين ولا مضلين يا رب العالمين. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها انت خير من زكاها يا رب العالمين. اللهم انصر اخواننا المستضعفين المسلمين الموحدين في كل مكان يا رب العالمين. اللهم انصر اخواننا المستضعفين المسلمين في كل مكان يا رب العالمين. اللهم اهد شبابنا ونساءنا ورجالنا واغفر لوالدينا وارحمهم كما ربونا صغارا. اللهم اغفر لهم وارحمهم يا رب. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات وللمؤمنين وللمؤمنات الاحياء منهم والاموات انك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. There's a sister of our community that is going through surgery. I did forget the name, but I ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants her health, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant health to all of those who are ill, and to grant rahmah to all of those who passed away, Ya Rabbi Ameen. And just a reminder that inshallah this Sunday, the 21st of October, there will be an open house at the masjid for Muslims and for non-Muslims. Please invite them, inshallah. This will happen between 12:30 to 4:30 this Sunday. Wa aqum salat as-salat.